When one is faced with a bell, one must respect said bell. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from the world of sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved in those stories. Also, there is a pending option, which he sometimes likes to use. 2 weeks in a row, we are having pretty big issues regarding Willie Taggart's new staff. Steve?
I'm just going to let you finish that.
Last week, he suspended his new strength coach for his workouts, putting three players in the hospital. This week, he and the school are in the process of firing his offensive coordinator, who he hired last Tuesday, David Reeves. Reeves pulled over at 2 a.m. with Whiteouts coach Jimmy Doherty after the two had been drinking and arrested for not maintaining a lane, making an illegal turn, and refusing to take a breathalyzer. So Rob Mullins said the school is in the process of terminating the contract, while Reeves sent his lawyer to the courts today to dispute the charges. Actually, I don't even know if he disputed the charges, just went to the courts today. 2 weeks in a row, with one of Taggart's hires getting into hot water within weeks after he hires them. Last week, you said Taggart acted appropriately with the strength coach by suspending him for a month without pay. This time, the school is flat out firing Reeves, but not punishing Doherty. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Willie Taggart in the school acted appropriately with this situation?
In honor of the bell, can we come up with the greatest bell ever, whether it's Le'Veon or Liberty?
You're going to rank bells?
Or something.
Well, you could do the 10 and 10 for bells.
Tubular Bells, the theme song to The Exorcist, or something like that. I think there's Hell's Bells.
Yeah, got to name 10
there.
Bells first.
There's something there. Buy it. I think suspending the strength and conditioning coach and firing this Reeves dude is just, they had to do it. Buy it.
A legend of our industry announced he's going to hang up the headphones. Brent Musburger, who everyone who watches college football knows, but also spent a long time calling baseball, basketball, even NASCAR, said that January 31st will be the last game he calls. Musburger, who was born in Portland, by the way, 77 years old, coming off a couple of less than stellar performances in which he talked about the appearance of Catherine Webb, colleague Holly Rowe, gave a very unpopular take on Joe Mixon, but an absolutely stellar career of calling college football games, called Flutie's Hail Mary, Desmond Howard's catch to beat Notre Dame, the miracle at Missouri, Ricky Williams breaking Dorsett's record, laundry list of famous college football plays. A couple months ago, we had another legend step down in Vern Lundquist. Add to him Keith Jackson. You have your three-headed college football monster in terms of announcers. But I want to know who is the best, because many today are saying it is Musburger. The prospectus, Brent Musburger is the best national college football play-by-play guy ever.
A, the best thing he ever called, alongside Rick Barry, Garfield Hurd's heave to send Game 5 of the NBA Finals in 76 to overtime against the Celtics.
I heard Garfield doesn't like Mondays very much. Loves lasagna, though.
And the brilliant commentary offered by Rick Barry was this, as Musburger made the call. Keith Jackson, next, sell it.
Steelers lost to the Patriots because obviously Chris Hogan is the best wide receiver in the history of the sport. No one has an answer for him, including Pittsburgh. Oh, and they have Tom Brady, too. He's also pretty good. But after the loss, Ben Roethlisberger told a radio station over there that he is going to take the offseason to evaluate his future, said he's going to talk with his family, decide if he indeed wants to come back next year to play again. He has dealt with a bunch of injuries over the last few seasons. 34 years old now, which is generally high-end in terms of players staying viable in the NFL. That said, 29 touchdown passes last year, nearly 4,000 yards. He still has it, and if he can stay healthy, the Steelers are very close. Clearly, that will weigh heavily in his decision. All that talent on the table, could you really see him walking away? The prospectus, you buy or sell that Big Ben is considering retirement.
Here's what has a better chance of happening. Me attending the Journey Show at MKA. Me quitting after this and leaving for D.C. to become a White House intern. Not even remotely sort of a kind of chance, unless something terrible happens between now and then, sell it.
Last night in college basketball, insane. Both the new number one and new number two teams lost. Actually, they're not new, but number one and number two lost when Nova lost to Marquette. Kansas got boat raced by West Virginia in the second half. Well, with those teams out, that means the number three team needs to move up, right? Who's that number three team, you may ask? None other than the pesky Gonzaga Bulldogs. Now, we all know how the Zags operate. they have great regular seasons, then they get to the tournament as a high seed and choke it away to a team from a real conference. But this year, the Zags are undefeated, 20-0, and they have wins over ranked teams in Iowa State, St. Mary's, and Arizona, which just took former number 3 UCLA to the woodshed. I know we like to make fun of them, but they are the clear number 1 right now. But are they actually the best team? Could they beat Nova, Kansas, Kentucky, even Oregon in a one-game walk-off? The prospectus, Gonzaga is the best team in the country right now.
They're not the best team in the country. I don't believe that. But they're going to be number 1 come Sunday afternoon. So I'll sell that with a little kind of Faber codicil.
Edgar Martinez having his number retired by the Mariners. Second player in Mariners history to have done that along with Griffey. Edgar, a DH, you know, basically 99.9% of his career, arguably the best of all time, played 6 years at third base, but really took off in his career when he moved to the DH. He was, you know, short of the Hall of Fame this year, but not for lack of effort. Over 6,000 plate appearances as a DH, hit .314, 243 home runs at the position. David Ortiz just retired, has more home runs, basically more of everything statistically other than average and on-base percentage, where Martinez has him by a bunch. Obviously, Poppy is fresher on our minds, but Edgar is borderline Hall of Fame for a reason. But is he the best DH ever? There's Ortiz. Paul Molitor had most of his games played at DH. So did Frank Thomas. Obviously, some legends there. The prospectus, Edgar Martinez, the best primary DH ever.
Nah, it's Ortiz. Sell it.
A couple of easy ones for you there. T-ball in the crunch exchange. Simple one for Oregon hoops, if not significant. Dylan Brooks went down against Cal with what we learned was a sprained foot. The fear was he had re-broken the one he had surgery on. That's obviously not the case now. That reports yesterday that he practiced and is in a game time decision for tomorrow with Utah. General timeout for a mild sprain about a week or two. The week would be on the dot if he comes back tomorrow. But Oregon has been playing insanely great without him recently. So do they need him against the Utes? The prospectus, Dylan Brooks should play tomorrow.
Yeesh. I'll tell you what, could I add kind of a little detail to this?
Yes.
If there's absolutely no risk and he's healthy and the doctors are like, we got no reason he shouldn't play, he should. If there's even a remote doubt, this game is not as important as to what's coming and the potential to reach Phoenix in March. Well, actually, it would be early April. So, again, there's a pending in there because
so how about I add this? If Dylan Brooks truly is healthy enough to play, should Dylan Brooks play?
Yep, I'm always a believer. Players play. Buy it. Is that it? All right. By the way, for those who are wondering about Gonzaga reaching number 1, it's happened. St. Joe's out of the A-10 2004 with Jameer Nelson. They were unbeaten. They rose to number 1. And Wichita State was unbeaten. They rose to number 1. But then it's about getting through the conference tournament, and on Selection Sunday, are they worthy of a number 1 overall? So very, 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 very much TBD, as they say.